A Rosicrucian Christmas Card by Paul Goodall, Frater Rosicrucis. Frater Paul Goodall has expanded and revised his study of Rosicrucian Hermeticism, especially for this issue of the Rosicrucian Digest. The original version of this text appeared in the Rosicrucian Beacon in December 2002. The recognition of the importance of Rosicrucian Hermeticism continues to grow in academic and popular circles even today.
Since the seminal work of Dame Frances Yates and the subsequent work of scholars, such as the more recent Carlos Gilley, academics have to accept the existence and importance of the Rosicrucian stream of Hermeticism that influenced philosophical, religious, and political ideas at the beginning of European early modern history. Rosicrucianism and other esoteric philosophies existed not just on the fringe of the cultural, social, and political arena, but often played a central role in motivating important personalities. It is clear now, for example, that events leading up to the Thirty Years' War, 1618 to 1648, in Europe cannot be understood without recognizing the influence of Rosicrucianism upon individuals placed high in contemporary society. Bearing this in mind, we can consider with interest a document that came to light in early 1979. This was a manuscript on parchment discovered by the researcher Adam McLean, based in Glasgow, that had been designed and authored by none other than Michael Meyer, and named by the Scottish Record Office in Edinburgh, now renamed the National Archives of Scotland, as King James's Christmas Card. The manuscript was originally presented to King James I, 6th of Scotland, during the Christmas period of 1611. For copyright reasons, it is not possible to include a digital scan of this artifact, so we rely on a redrawn image from the original manuscript of the central figure of the rose by Adam McLean. Much of the crucial text in red that adorns the rose is almost invisible and can only be seen through the use of ultraviolet light. For this reason, we also rely on McLean's investigations of the text. Interestingly, the manuscript predates the printing of the Fama Fraternitatis, 1614, the first of the Rosicrucian manifestos, by 2 years, and also Meyer's own published works. The document itself is quite large and measures 83.82 centimeters by 60.96 centimeters, 33 inches by 24 inches. And although it may have been originally rolled up like a scroll, it is quite clear from examining the document that at some point it was folded longitudinally 4 times to enclose its contents. These 4 fold lines, whether deliberate or not, conveniently delineate each of the 5 column components that comprise the manuscript. The 2 outside columns are not as broad as the 3 inner ones. Once the 2 columns that flank either side of the center have been unfolded, there is inscribed along the top of the manuscript and above the rose head a formal greeting to the king. A greeting on the birthday of the sacred king to the most worshipful and energetic lord and most eminent James, King of Great Britain and Ireland, and defender of the true faith, with a gesture of joyful celebration of the birthday of the Lord, in most joy and fortune, we enter into the new auspicious year 1612, dedicated and consecrated with humble service and submission from Michael Meyer, German Count Palatine, Doctor of Medicine and Philosophy, Knight and Poet Laureate. Looking at the central illustration, one can see that the body of the rose is supported by a stem attached to a base, both of which are modeled from Latin texts. The stem followed by the base read together: Septrum, Letitiae, Quo, Tibi Dan, Te Preco, Fausta, Octo Omnia, Auregum, Rex Vege, Bovens. The scepter of joy which I pray is given to you, Luck in all eight is wished to the kingdom, the king, and the court. Arranged around the rows are eight inscriptions to which the above text refers. 1. Celeste Bonum, the blessing of heaven. 2. Sanitatem Corporis, the health of the body. 3. Pacem Temporalem, a time of peace. 4. Affluentiam Opum, the rewards of work. 5. Victorium Contra Hostis, victory against enemies. 6. Longvafen Vitam, a long life. 7. Fervorem Pietatis, fervent piety. 8. Aurum in Literatus, love of learning. One cannot fail to admire the ingenuity of Meyer when the relationship of the text within the petals and the radiating eight arms forming the divisions between the petals are examined. It can be seen that the letters making up each arm, in gold on the original, begins each line of text, in red on the petal, to the immediate right forming an acrostic. An example will suffice to demonstrate this. The bold type below indicates the arm between the first and second petals. On the second petal, then under Sanitatem Corporis, the text reads, Beatus omnibus est in conorum, divina mercis in sanitate, vivere et robustium esse. With all happiness and enterprise, the divine reward is to live in health and be strong. If one traces the path of the letters of the arms, beginning at 12 o'clock and reading toward the center in each arm, then going clockwise, one gets Vive Jacobe, Diu Rex Magne, Britannice Salve, Tegmine Quo, Vera Sid Rosa, Laete Tuo. Long live James, King of Great Britain. Hail, may the rose be joyful under thy protection. In the center of the rose, we find Vivet Rex et Regnum, long live the king and his reign, which from his positioning suggests that Meyer was making a deliberate link between James and the symbol of the rose. Placed directly around the perimeter of the rose and along the line traced by the petals in red ink is a poem addressed to King James, which adds emphasis to this. Through the divine, the King of Kings, may the king obtain all good fortune. May England be guarded well by the angelic hand. May twice four blessings speed to his joyous scepter. May the rose not be gnawed by the canker of the north wind. May the bounty of Almathea flourish with the fruit of the cornucopia. May the gloomy Eris be banished from the kingdom, and let Eros appear, so that the golden age of the double-faced Janus may return. May Jesus, who is both divine and human, grant all this. Amen. Flanking the Rose Cross emblem are two lengthy allegorical poems, full of classical mythological overtones, even though they refer to the biblical nativity. The one to the left forming the second column is entitled The Chorus of the Angels, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Michael, and the one to the right making up the fourth column, Menelaus and Thyrsus, the celebration of the shepherds. Beneath the angels' chorus is a four-part musical fugue, singing praise to God, while under the shepherd's chorus and accompanying the fugue is a repeating cantus firmus. The red ink of the libretto is barely visible, like that of the red text in the rose figure. The two outside columns, 1 and 5, contain addresses to the king in the form of an epigram, Epigramma ad Reg, and an elegiac poem, Elegia ad Reg, respectively. Humor on the one hand and lament on the other. Both are signed Meyer supplicans, which seems to reflect the nature of these personal appeals and strengthens the idea of the document as a propitiatory or conciliatory device. No doubt this is in line with Meyer's political motives. Beneath the epigram in the first column, the text of the radiating arms of the rose figure and the text surrounding the rose head are both duplicated. Similarly, the text from the stem and base of the rose emblem is repeated under the elegiac poem in the fifth column. It is interesting to note that a similar manuscript was later discovered in the early 1980s at the British Library, showing the same handwriting and style, and addressed to James's son, Prince Henry. This manuscript was sent at the same time as the document we are considering, confirming the authenticity of King James's Christmas card, and certainly demonstrating Meyer's intent to promote the Order of the Rose Cross. Although it is not certain that Meyer presented these manuscripts personally, he was certainly in England by November of 1612, for on the 6th of that month he was attending the funeral of Prince Henry as a representative of Frederick V, the Elector Palatine, now southern Germany. Frederick had already visited England the previous month to court King James's daughter, Elizabeth. A political and religious alliance was being forged between the strongly Protestant Britain and the equally Protestant Palatinate. For Rosicrucians, their utopian aspirations could only be realized by living and working freely in a country where Protestantism flourished, and so it was in their interest to promote this union. Another event occurring in 1612 that seemed to thwart the plans of the order was the death of Emperor Rudolf II, the ruler of the Habsburg Empire in Europe. This monarch was quite extraordinary and from his Bohemian capital of Prague had actively encouraged and promoted esoteric studies, particularly alchemy. The loss of this patron made the task of ensuring the success of the marriage of Frederick V to the Princess Elizabeth crucial to the advancement of Rosicrucianism in 17th century European society. The manuscripts speak for themselves, of course, but Meyer, who incidentally was employed by Rudolf II as physician and advisor before his death, certainly had an agenda in coming to England. He was preparing the ground for the political alliance and marriage mentioned above. He was also moving in the circles of high society and meeting many important figures, including Robert Fludd. It is not to be forgotten that Francis Bacon was also a contemporary personality. It is interesting to speculate how the king may have received his presentation of a Rosicrucian Christmas card. Would the symbolism have been lost on him? Or did he have some knowledge of the import of the rose and cross combination that Meyer knew would have an accord with him? At any rate, the royal event went ahead, and the Elector Palatine Frederick V was married to Princess Elizabeth on February 14, 1613, in the Royal Chapel of Whitehall. Unfortunately, the joy was short-lived. After having reigned in Heidelberg, Frederick was offered the throne of Bohemia and reigned in Prague during the winter of 1619 to 1620. The two were known as the Winter King and Queen of Bohemia. However, the Catholic armies were moving against him, culminating in the Battle of the White Mountain outside Prague on November 8, 1620, in which Frederick's forces were totally defeated. It was the end of any immediate plans of establishing the Rosicrucian dream of a utopian state. Readers may be interested to know how they can see the subject of this article for themselves. The catalog number for the document is GD241/212 and is described as MS Poems and Music Dedicated to King James VI by Michael Meyer, Count Palatine and Doctor of Medicine and Philosophy, 1612. It is not possible to view a digital image online, and you have to arrange a visit to the search rooms in Edinburgh to view the subject. All the information you require can be gained at www.nas.gov.uk/searchrooms/default.asp. If the reader wishes to inquire about the second manuscript to Prince Henry, the reference number is British Library, Royal MS, 14BXVI.